Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back, folks. Another edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider. So you're going to get something special. We're going to drop an episode today. And then we're going to come back in a few days and drop another when we're going to have a special guest by the name of Jet Howard. But we wanted to get one in to sort of recap, as there have been a couple of games since our last podcast, as Michigan, they play Prairie View. And then, of course, they had the first loss of the season at home to Seton Hall. So my esteemed colleague and friend, a former Michigan basketball standout, NBA first-round draft pick, one of the best basketball commentators in the land, none other than Tim McCormick. Tim, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well, and I'm anxious to break down the Seton Hall game because I think we learned a lot, and we've also been really spoiled, haven't we? It seems like those are the games that Michigan has been so good at putting away. And go back in the time machine a little bit to the Buffalo game, because I remember sitting in the stands, and I kept thinking, is Michigan really a number five team in the country, as their ranking would suggest? Because we've questioned their youth and their inexperience. Remember, they lost Shaundi Brown and Isaiah Livers and Franz Wagner and Mike Smith. Three of those four are in the NBA. And the freshmen and all the players in new roles, really Eli and Brandon are the only ones that are seniors who have massive experience. And they've gone through this. Like even Hunter Dickinson, this is his first year with fans in the stands, with the load of pressure of being the go-to guy. And then I also asked, and we talked about this, who's the number three scorer? It really seems like Hunter and Eli are the go-to guys, but you need three really good scorers. We talked about if Devontae Jones can be a top 5 point guard in the Big Ten, and with his aggressiveness, can he stay out of foul trouble? And as I sat down to watch Seton Hall, I was hoping that I would be able to check off those boxes and be able to answer a lot of those questions. And quite frankly, I wasn't able to. All of those questions remain serious concerns. And I'm still super optimistic about this team. And I think Michigan will be ranked all year. And I think they'll play in the NCAA and be a strong candidate to play in the Sweet 16 and beyond. And all of those things are still in front of them. But realistically, those questions still exist, and I think it makes it really fun and intriguing to try to figure out, watch this team.
And so, Tim, I think you hit the nail on the head with who's that third guy right now. And I just think we are at a point in this season that was, you know, if you sit back and think about it, it was predictable. This is role definition time because not only with a number of freshmen coming into the fold, but a new point guard coming into the fold as well, right? And so, you know, to me, it was no surprise that when Michigan goes through that drought early in the game, who was it that really sort of rung the bell and got there, you know, got them sort of with a rudder offensively? It was Eli Brooks and Hunter Dickinson, 10 straight points. Eli Brooks had a hand in 10 straight points. He either scored or dished off to Hunter in that run. And then it was Eli in the second half, you know, hitting a big three to stave off a run and finding Hunter a couple of times. I just think that while other roles are being settled, because, you know, Caleb Houston, he got a lot of shots, a lot of good shots that I think they're going to tell him to keep shooting. But they aren't falling right now. Devontae Jones, you're seeing some aggression from him, but still trying to pick his spots when it comes to finding his own offense. In the interim, Tim, I'm telling Eli Brooks and Hunter Dickinson, man, you guys, it can't be, you know, latter part of the first half or into the second half before you guys start going to get it. You guys need to not necessarily be ball hogs, Tim, but they need to be looking offense to me right now, you know, 80% of the time down the floor until you figure out what's going on with the rest of the guys.
Sam, the guy that I'm going to be hardest on right now was the best player in the building. Okay, so some people are going to say, Tim, you're unfair. Look, bear with me and listen close. Hunter Dickinson was outstanding. He played great versus a loaded defense with size and shot blocking and solid double team concepts. He was 8 for 11, 9 boards, couple of blocks. I love 4 assists, 1 turnover. Great game. Nice job. Fantastic start. I need more. A lot more.
I hear you.
He's an All-American. And once again, I'm not diminishing him. He was great. And he's capable of more. And Michigan had a 6-minute drought in the first half. And so Hunter can't score when he's on the bench. I don't have a problem with that. But the numbers, when you look at them and the presence he has and how hard he plays and his toughness, he gets an A in every category. But in a 2-point loss in your own building, I have a problem with 8 of 11. I guess it's 8 for 10 if you don't count as 1-3. He was 8 for 10 inside the 3-point line. And if you're 8 for 10, you need 5 to 7 more shots. You've earned the right. And a lot of my issue is with the offense. If you have an unstoppable force, then you've got to get them the ball. High field goal, high assist, low turnovers. Put the ball in his hands. 18 points is a great game. If you're an All-American in that setting, you learn to take over the game.
Yeah.
You score 25. And if you score 25, you win that game.
Yeah.
You know, 2 for 2 from the line, Sam, that's not enough. And they could not cover him. And trust me, if you're running a ton of offense to try, you know, high screen and rolls, let me tell you a story. When I was with the Houston Rockets, we were in the playoffs against the LA Lakers. That's Kareem and Magic and Byron Scott, and James Worthy. And Dream was right in the middle of his career. Hakeem Olajuwon was amazing. And so our coach, Don Chaney, put in this offensive set. And like there was a back screen and then a cross screen, and then he slipped the screen. And Olajuwon said, "Coach, forget all this. Just give me the ball." And it was so true. Like, we were complicating things. All you need to do is post this guy up, make the other team double him, and you're playing advantage basketball on the weak side. And Hunter scored 1 bucket down the stretch last night. And that's not good enough. It's not, especially for a team that's learning how to score.
I'm right there with you, Tim. And it sounds, it's like, what the hell are you? I'm sure we're going to get some messages from people. What the hell are you talking about? Hunter Dickinson had 18 points. You just said he was 8 for 11. Eli Brooks he was 7 for 15 for 17 points. Here's the best way I can put it, and I can sort of compare it to football. So Michigan goes into Michigan State, and you have Cade McNamara throw for 383 yards in that contest, and they lose, right? And one of the things that we were talking about, and you heard, I got a text message from you, you know, talking about how great Devin Gardner's analysis was of that game, right? He talked about all the yards, all the plays that were left on the field that day through the air, probably 500 yards of offense. I agree with him. He was absolutely right. There were 500 yards and at least another touchdown that was left on that field. You saw it in the next week where Purdue's quarterback threw for 536 and 3 touchdowns. Here's the point. You got about what you should, you got the max. You got about as much as you should reasonably expect from Cade McNamara in that game. You aren't getting 500 yards from him. If he throws for 383 yards in the game, you got to win that game. But when you get to over the basketball, and you're talking about Hunter Dickinson, yeah, Hunter gave you 18, but he could give you 30. It's different. His ceiling is higher. The room for him to provide more is greater. So I'm right there with you, Tim, especially unless and until someone else is ready to step to the fore. And I think that time will come as these guys play together more. But I think the most damning statistic that you gave wasn't the number of shots for either guy. It was that both guys were 2 for 2 from the free throw line, especially in the absence of anything in the way of three-point efficiency. If the jumpers aren't falling, Tim, let's get to the free throw line, especially on a day where they were shooting them at a pretty good clip. I mean, shooting at a pretty good percentage.
Well said. And, you know, Sam, I consider you a really close friend, but I'm questioning it now. I've taken 3 weeks to get over the Michigan State game, and you just opened up wounds that were healing. Thank you very much for that. Look, I I think that there was a really good chance that Michigan could go to UNLV and lose or get beat by Wichita State or Arizona on Sunday. But that's not going to happen now because Juwan's got their attention. They're going to be hypersensitive about the things that they did wrong, and they're going to look to improve them. Michigan had an early loss somewhere on their schedule. I didn't know which one it was, but they've already had it, and they're not going to lose again for a while. The other thing I wanted to ask you know who the guy I really miss? I miss Franz Wagner. You know, we so could have used a guy that can just put the ball on the floor 3 or 4 times per half and get you a layup. And this team really is going to need some playmakers. And right now, can you see who that driver slasher finisher is?
Yes. Yes, I can. Oh, well, it's a little bit of a projection. I can tell you who I would give a shot. Kobe Bufkin.
Yeah,
I give Kobe Bufkin a shot. Because I'm telling you, man, listen, you know what I think of Kobe's game. And to me, his play, he put it on the deck, got to the rack, finished through contact. Get a young fella a foul, ref. Come on, man. That was a hell of a play. But that's a talent. That's a skill that they need. They need some slashing. And the minute you start playing Kobe to put it on the deck, he can shoot it. Now, he might go through the same growing pains that we see Caleb Houston experiencing right now. I'm not guaranteeing you that Kobe Bufkin is going to come in there, and if he gets 4 threes that he's going to hit, I don't know. But I'm willing to give him a shot, especially when he only played 9 minutes in that game. To me, when they go back and evaluate his minutes, I got to believe that they feel like, man, we need to give him a couple of more minutes in this next game.
Yeah, after the Buffalo game, I was thinking, how long will it take for Adrian to lose his job to Kobe Bufkin? It took one game, and Adrian was pretty good against Buffalo. But your future is with Kobe Bufkin, and I also think, man, when I watch him, he reminds me a lot of Zeb Jackson, same body type, that similar size, athletic, lefty. I think that they need somebody that brings athleticism to the table, and those are two pretty good options. I also wanted to ask you, Devontae Jones, I've noticed some people were a little bit hard on him, and I really like the way he plays. You know, a double-double in that setting. He is who he is. He's not a world-class athlete, but I think that he did a pretty good job. What were your thoughts?
I thought so, too. I think that he is still trying to get comfortable with Hunter in a two-man game. I think that there are going to be better days ahead as he gets used to the pace and space with Hunter. Mm-hmm. I think you see that chemistry with Eli, where they just seem to know. I mean, whether it's sometimes, man, and you know this is a big fella, sometimes you set a screen and maybe it doesn't get the guy as free. So go back the other way. Use the screen again. That doesn't work. Use it again. Did you see Eli and Hunter sort of have that chemistry? I mean, it was like they kind of just knew what the other was going to do, and that's just not there yet with Devontae, and I think it will come. I think he has a good mid-range game. It just hasn't shown yet. I think he's trying to pick his spots offensively as well. I was encouraged to see him hit a three in this game. I just think it's just a matter of him getting comfortable. It was good to see him on the glass, though. It wasn't necessarily falling as much as he would like for it to fall, but he went and got it off the rim, so I appreciate that.
On the glass, he reminds me of Russell Westbrook. You know, the big guys box out, and then all of a sudden this point guard comes and grabs all the rebounds. A couple of other things. I do think he's going to be an effective shooter. And in the practices that I've watched, he's probably a better shooter than what I've given him credit for. Because when he's shooting 50 uncontested threes with managers tossing him the ball, that's not game speed in practice. And so his shot looks a little bit fast right now. I think he needs to figure out, okay, I'm playing with an elite center. How can I use him to get myself some layups and open shots? Also, the faster the pace that you're playing, the better for him. I think he's going to really thrive against UNLV. I think he'll have his career high. I know his career high at Michigan. I think he could have 15 points plus in that game. And then the other thing is, I don't know if you watched the Pistons game the other night, but I like Isaiah Stewart, the starting center for the Pistons, mm-hmm. and he's got a problem getting in foul trouble.
Yes, he does.
And so I shared a story during our broadcast that when I was a young player, Jeff Ruland called me aside, and I was starting for the Philadelphia 76ers, and I got two quick fouls, and I was out most of the half. And he said, look, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, because like, you got a chance to start, and you just wasted about 10 minutes of game time because you made two bad decisions. He said, I recommend that you go the first 4 minutes of every game and do not get a foul. If you've got to give up a layup, do it, but don't sacrifice yourself. And at the 4 minute or the 8 minute mark of the first quarter, then you start playing loose and free. I think that would be really smart of Devontae Jones to go the first 4 minutes of every game and just keep your hands off your man. Just stay half a step away and establish yourself for the whole game.
I can't remember which game it was that they played. It might have been the game against the Nets. One of those games, he picked up like two fouls in the first couple minutes.
It wasn't even 2 minutes gone. He was gone. He was like a big storm. You know, it's big and it's powerful and it's mean, and all of a sudden it's gone. That's the way Isaiah Stewart was. Sam, one other thing I wanted to touch on is how I feel like Michigan lost this game because their support big guys did not do a good enough job. They were not productive. Diabate, Williams, Johns, they played 50 minutes combined. Listen to these numbers. 4 for 15, 11 points. My concern, only 5 rebounds. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were several times that Jones came in and swiped their rebounds that should have been there. So I don't want to obsess about the rebound numbers, but those guys have to be more productive. And Musa only had 11 minutes. What I would say, they need his energy, but he cannot afford to ease into a game. When you're a bench big, you've got to come in and you've got to impact the game with something right away.
Yeah, I think that his, and I don't know this, this is just my speculation, there's some defensive breakdowns mm-hmm. in there that I think maybe, I think that maybe sort of limited his time a bit. Yeah, you absolutely need more from Brandon. You know, Brandon Johns Jr. is supposed to be a guy, this is supposed to be a breakout for him. And in this game, especially with all of the attention Hunter commands, you need more production out of him. But I'll come back to something I said a little bit earlier. I think there was a lot of pressure on the young guys, especially Caleb Houston, to be more of a guy. And I think you can maybe spread that pressure out a little bit more, whether it's definitely a few more minutes for Kobe Bufkin. I liked the minutes that they got from Terrence Williams, even though defensively at times with the quickness and the slashing ability that we saw from Seton Hall, that compromised them. There were some breakdowns, but just the energy and activity that you're talking about, I think Terrence Williams and Musa Diabate, I think both of them bring that to the table. So maybe spreading out some of the minutes that we saw. I mean, the starters logged heavy minutes, man. Especially Caleb and Eli. And I just think those can be spread out a little bit more, especially Caleb's, and maybe that'll help them as they get into these next couple of games here.
I like what you said about Caleb, and he did play a lot of minutes.
He played the most minutes.
He was out there. I like him on defense. Now, there were a few possessions that he was mediocre on defensively after missing a shot, but that's normal. I mean, I did that all the time too. I'd be so mad that I missed an open shot and I would lose my focus on defense. He'll learn that as he gets older. And right now on offense, if you watch closely, he basically is sprinting down the court and running right to the corner and waiting for the ball. And if they find him, he's got an open shot, but he was 1 for 9 and missed all of his threes. As time goes on, he's going to learn how to impact the game in different ways. He'll be better physically. He'll learn on how to diversify his game as a scorer, because if you're going to just rely on somebody to hit you in the corner for an open three, you really become pretty easy to account for with the opposing defense. To be able to get some cuts to the basket. I think he could really learn a lot from watching some old tape of Franz Wagner playing that position. Even Isaiah Livers, those guys learned how to get to the line, how to be a little bit more physical on their drives, to draw that contact, to find a little bit in transition. So I'm optimistic, and I'm very pleased with what I've seen from him so far.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Tim. I think it's a great point. This is another sort of the free throw line can help you. When I talk about spreading his minutes out, that's not a criticism. That's not me saying I don't think he's capable. It's more saying, man, he might need a breather. You know, he might need a chance to gather himself. And then you're also growing some other guys in your rotation. But I am coming out of this game telling Caleb Houston exactly what you said. Hey, you know, you're gonna have to maybe, you know, give me a basket cut, maybe put it on the deck. They're gonna overplay you on the perimeter. But I'm telling him to keep shooting, young for Caleb. Keep shooting. You got good looks. Those shots are gonna fall. One that sticks out to me is right before the half, Tim. He gets that open three in the corner and he misses it. You can see him hang his head a little bit. And Kobe is right there with him telling, hey, man, that's a great shot. You got to shoot that every time. He needs to shoot that shot because I think just from a skill set standpoint, Caleb Houston is their best shooter. He is their best. His numbers don't say that on the court as far as production, but just pure skill, shooting drills, I'm sure Caleb Houston is their best shooter. They need him to keep shooting. I think they will eventually start falling.
You know, he needs to be like Cade Cunningham and just keep shooting. Cade's three-point percentage is horrific, but he's a good shooter, and he's going to learn to knock those down. And in the meantime, just keep learning how to play off of your teammates, how to get open, how to get good shots. And then when your feet are set, take a half a second longer and make sure that you shoot your threes just like a free throw with very little movement, with no urgency. Just take your time and knock it down, and he's gonna have a great season.
We're gonna be doing another episode here in a couple of days where we're gonna talk to Jet Howard. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. But the next one, we'll be able to recap UNLV. For this one, Tim, what can you tell us about these? These aren't Tark the Sharks running Rebels. It's not, you know, Larry Johnson and Anderson Hunt and Stacey Augmon. It's not Greg Anthony, not those guys. What do these running Rebels bring to the table?
Sam, I'm embarrassed to say that I started studying this afternoon at UNLV. I was looking at some of the analytic numbers. I was looking at their roster, and I said, I don't know any of these guys. I've never heard of any of them. They're middle of the pack in the Mountain West. And I said, I've got a life. I'm not looking at any more of this stuff on UNLV. I'll figure it out when I watch them on Friday. And so I do know that their defensive numbers are good, but that's because they're playing overmatched opponents. UNLV doesn't shoot very well, but more than anything else, it all matters about Michigan learning from the Seton Hall game. I expect them to do that. There's nobody on that UNLV team that can deal with Hunter Dickinson. So until you figure things out, ride the big dog. Just get him the ball and let him go to work, and he's going to make everybody else's job easy.
So this is my final question to you, Tim, as a big fella, because, you know, Hunter can't give the ball to himself. Like you said, he needs to get more shots up. He's 8-for-11. I agree that right now, or in a game like that where most of the other guys are struggling offensively, he needs more shots. Same thing with Eli Brooks, even though they put up 11 and 15 respectively. But Eli can determine the shots he gets. Hunter can't. So does that mean that he needs to demand the ball more as a big fella? Is that what he should be doing?
I shared this story with you in the past, Sam. I was playing for the Sixers, and Mo Cheeks was my point guard. And I was on the low post. I had a guy I knew I could score against, and he didn't give me the ball. And so during a timeout, I said, Mo, what's going on? Why didn't you give me the ball? And he said, if you don't look like you want the ball and demand it, I'm not giving it to you. And it was a great lesson, because if a big guy is waving his arms and he's got a look on his face like, give me the ball, I'm going to work, everybody in the stands, everybody on TV is saying, why aren't they giving it to him? And so that big man, by getting big and demanding the ball, he will get it. And Michigan wants to throw it to him. There were a number of times that they looked him off, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, and so just so people don't do you like they do Dev. Look, he played great, right? You're saying he played great.
He's great. He's an All-American.
He played great. He had a really good game. Just said he needed a little more right now.
You know, if Hassan Haskins has 100 yards and he only has 8 carries, I'm wondering how come he doesn't have 20 carries. You know, like you if somebody's rolling, you go to them. And it doesn't matter the sport. I want to see Hunter Dickinson high usage. He's a very good passer. He takes a lot of space up. He draws double teams, and he can't be stopped. To me, that's a real recipe for success.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Tim McCormick. It is always a pleasure, my friend. We just had to get this episode in so we can talk about Seton Hall, and we'll be back with another episode on Sunday to look ahead to the week. We'll recap the UNLV game. We'll have a special guest, Jet Howard. Really looking forward to talking to Jet, Tim. Man, that was – I thought the way that he finished the summer at the Players Association Top 100 camp, I thought it was a fitting end to what I thought was a breakout summer, really validated his ranking as one of the top, 25 or 30 players in the country.
The way things are looking, there's a very good chance that next year, one year from now, as we're getting ready for some turkey and Thanksgiving, that Jet Howard is Michigan's starting small forward.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Tim, appreciate you. We'll talk to you again in a few days. And, folks, thanks again for listening to another episode of the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.